Cooper Boys. Well, good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
Acts chapter 12, verses 1 through 4 will be my message, and I hope you don't mind me just taking a couple of moments. We're not eating till 1, right? Brother Eckers, one more thing you and I have in common. We both married up. Right? We both married up. That's for sure. You know, I look back on time, it's hard to believe I was 25 years old when we came here. I mean, I literally grew up at Cooper Baptist Church. Ben was 4 months old, and we lived in a house trailer out there. Oh, I'm over home. I stand corrected. Mr. Bolton, a mobile home there in Ray's Trailer Park. That's about where we were. That's about where we were. And I came here with for two jobs. You remember that? I was the part-time youth director, and I also was a part of the construction gang. They had the honorable Ronald Jean and Joe Lawrence and Obie Atchison and Bob Henry and myself. That was a crew. I mean, the five of us worked on this church. They liked to scare me to death, like never grew up. We had that lift in here, and I will never forget those days as long as I live. I was scared to death of that lift, and Obie would drive. Obie was a driver. And there'd be a two-by-four laying on the floor, and he would run over it. And when you're 30 feet up in the air, you get real close to Jesus when you go over a two-by-four. Those were good days. By the way, our son Ben now is the minister of students and interim pastor at First Baptist Church in Swartz. And married a girl from Alexandria named Jen, and we have three grandkids. Abby is 7, and Madison is 5, and Jackson. The caboose is almost 2 years old come April. See, April's a big month for us. April's when we come here. April's when I was baptized. April's when I was licensed to preach. April's when I was called as pastor. April's when we moved in this church. And in this building 30 years ago in 1983, this building was completed. We moved into April. April's always been a big month in our lives. Matt, on the other hand, Matt went and joined the Marines and was wounded in Iraq. He's 100% disabled now by VA, and he still struggles some, but he's doing well. So you continue to pray for Matt, please. I asked him one day, I said, why did you join the Marines? He said, well, you drug me out there to Fort Polk all the time. He said, I loved all that military stuff, and he said, I wanted to join. And so out of high school, he joined the Marines, and we've been proud of him, proud of the heritage that we had here. I'll speak to you this moment on the cost of church membership. I was thinking about that. This church had played a valuable place in Stacy and I's life. We'd pastored LaTanya Baptist Church for 2 years when we came here, and Joe Smith was the pastor back then, And then I couldn't help think, when you called on Ronald Jean to go back over 30-something years ago in the old church, when a guest preacher got up here and asked Ronald to stand and read the scripture, and he didn't even know where the index was, the table of contents, much less where that book was. And then when you called on to pray, I was thinking, oh, Lord, he'll never be able to stand up and say anything. He's come a lot. You've done well with him. Just one time. But that is a step. That is a step in the right direction. Well, you found that Acts 12, 1 through 4, when you stand for the reading of God's Word, I still read from the New American Standard, the same Bible I preached from the whole time I was here. So, Acts chapter 12, 1 through 4. Now, about that time, Herod the king laid hands on some who belonged to the church in order to mistreat them. And he had James, the brother of John, put to death with a sword. And when he saw that it pleased the Jews, he proceeded to arrest Peter also. Now it was during the days of the unleavened bread, or the Passover. And when he had seized him, he put him in prison, delivering him to four squads of soldiers to guard him, intending after Passover to bring him out before the people. May God add his blessing to the reading of his word. You may be seated. I couldn't help but think back to the beginning of Cooper. And the date slips me. I wasn't there. Miss Hazel probably was in 1896 or 98. Which one was it? Do you remember Miss Hazel? I know you was there, charter member, 96, 98. Somewhere along there. This church has been here a long time. And there's been prices paid through the years for this church to be here. If you ever have time, you need to go back and read the minutes of this church. It's got the most beautiful handwriting you will ever see in your life. But they used to come together and they would ask this question every church meeting. Is the church wholly at peace? Not H-O-L-Y, but W-H-O-L-L-Y. Is the church wholly at peace? And a lot of times it would say no. And so they would appoint a committee. And they had to go see some folks that was chasing apostolics. Or they had to go find some folks that were dancing on Saturday night. Or the worst one yet, they were moving cows on Sunday. And they had to go and bring them brothers and sisters back straight. Hey, it costs something to belong to the church. Something I think is really missing these days. I don't know about here at Cooper now, but where I live, the church is not very important. Bowles Parish, it's a very spiritual parish, very religious parish, but not a very spiritual parish. You talk about the church, and that's where you get married, and that's where you get buried. And all the other times, you just kind of show up. It's interesting that the book of Acts tells us that King Herod had James put to death for one reason. He belonged to the church. He'd been faithful in preaching the gospel. You see, I've come to understand it costs something to belong to the church. Now, I'm just talking about moving your membership somewhere. I'm talking about belonging, being a part of God's church, of the body of Christ, that Christ died and was buried and rose again, that we might be his body. Boy, get a picture of that. We're his body. That you are the hands and the feet, the eyes, the ears of Jesus in this community. You're part of that. When Herod saw that it pleased the Jews that he put James to death, he wouldn't have had Peter arrested. Peter also was guilty of preaching the gospel. Boy, how the world hated Jesus. You know, things have not changed very much now, have they? I long for the day of when I was a young boy. In the fifth grade, the Gideons would come and give everybody a little pocket New Testament. By the way, how many of you ever got a pocket New Testament? You remember that in elementary school? That was neat, wasn't it? In fact, I had an old reprobate teacher. She made us read from it every day. That was how we read. We'd go around the class at public school. Not only that, the principal would get on the intercom and lead us in the Pledge of Allegiance. Or the student of the week would do that. And then he'd say a prayer. Lord, our schools was going to pot back then. Right? I mean, them were terrible days. You see, it costs something to be associated with the body of Christ. Let me share with you three things of what it costs. Church membership is always costly to those who take it seriously. James cost him his life. Peter goes into prison because he named the name of Jesus. Let me ask you, when's the last time you were bothered because you named the name of Jesus? When's the last time somebody came to you and said, you act just like Jesus? Truth of the matter is, ain't nobody ever told me that. They've told me I act like the devil. One time, in 1984 was a bad year for me. I got 5 traffic tickets going to make hospital visits because that was a holy thing to do. And you had to go fast. And them doggone state troopers on Highway 28, they stopped me every time. But the question I hated most was when they said, and where are you employed? Cooper Baptist Church. Sir, could you speak up? Cooper Baptist Church. Sir, would you talk plainly? I am the pastor of the Cooper Baptist Church. I bet you preach on sin Sunday, don't you? Boy, just kind of put right back on you. When's the last time somebody got on to you? Because you were part of the church. Because you were associating with Jesus. An interesting book to read sometimes is the Fox's Book of Martyr. Go back and read and talk about the first martyrs. Every one of the disciples, other than the Apostle John, were put to death violently. Of course, Judas committed suicide, but the other 10 all died violent deaths for one reason. They were preaching the gospel. They were guilty of being associated with Jesus. In fact, you meet Peter and John one time. They come to him. They said, "We know that. Notice that you have been with Jesus." You see, it costs something to belong to Jesus to those that name His name. Now, for most of us, we're never going to be called to die for our faith. Not yet. But the time is coming. But what we are called on to do is to live our faith. But it costs us something. If you're going to live for Jesus, there's a number of things that are going to cost, but three things quickly. One of them is time. It costs time to follow Jesus. It costs time to come to worship on Sunday mornings and Sunday night and Wednesday night. There's always something else to do. Somebody always loves to come see you at church time. Somebody always likes to come by on the nights that you do. But you know what? We find time to do what we like to do. Right? I never got into the pastor pool. I tried some of that, but that was for heathens. But I found that Christians love to hunt, and so that's what I do. But I always find time to go hunting, right? I don't care how tired you are, boy, you can get up. And I hate a week from today. What happens a week from today? Time changes. That means you can't sleep till 6 o'clock then go hunting. You got to get up before the roosters do to go. It ain't right. But we have to live under that system. Well, our time. To be associated with Jesus means to spend some time. It means to spend some time in His Word. It means to spend some time praying. It means to spend some time helping somebody else. It also costs us our value system. When you're associated with Jesus, no longer can it be me first. It's got to be He's first. And others the second, and I'm supposed to be the third one. There's something that changes. Our value system changes. No longer what I have is mine. What I have is His. Never understood to this day why we hate to give our tithes. Our tithes is His. In fact, really 100% is His, and He only asked for a dime out of a dollar. It cost us our value system, but you know what else it costs? It costs our material resources. When folks need our help, we got to give, folks. We had two things happen in Marksville the last couple of weeks that really was amazing. We had two couples come through that neither one of them spoke English real well, but they were going to California. And somehow the road to California leads through Marksville. I've never figured that out. And they needed some help. But what you're supposed to do when folks ask you for help? It's not rocket science. What are you supposed to do when somebody asks you for help? Help them. I mean, Jesus said that man asked you for your clothes, give him your shirt too. And get this, He said don't charge any interest. When you give it out, it's just supposed to be. So these folks come and they need some help, and so we gave them some money. The next Sunday, there's another family, just like them, going to California from Texas. But the road from Texas to California leads to Marksville. And I said, "Baby, look." And I got a piece of paper. I said, "Look, here's California, and here's Texas, and here's Marksville. You don't go this way. You go that way to go to California." She said, "But our GPS said come here." Well, how do you argue with that? My GPS is taking me all kinds of places. That's that little thing, Miss Barbara, on your phone that you place on the deck of a car, on the dash. Well, and so I knew they were scamming us. I mean, I know that, and people say, preacher, they're scamming us. And I said, I know they're scamming us, but you know what the scripture says? We're to help. Now, I was 99.999% sure they was lying to me. But there was that. And one day we stand before Jesus. And I'm afraid he's going to say to me, do you remember that family that came? And you were so sure you knew the story? Folks, when I stand before God one day, I won't be able to say, God, I did the very best I could. And if they scammed, if they lied, hey, that's between them and God. You know why God blesses you? So you can bless somebody else. Right? Everybody say amen.
Amen.
That's right. Don't forget that. Church membership is costly to those who take it seriously. Your time, your values, your material. Second, church membership is costly due to the nature of the world in which we live. We live in a world that is anti-Jesus. If you've not encountered that yet, don't worry. You will. You just cannot share your faith like you used to. And boy, I feel for our military friends these days. Now they're wanting active duty. You start sharing your faith on when you're on duty, you can be kicked out. What's that all about? During the shutdown, the Catholic priests couldn't go on a government facility and do mass at their own cost because they were considered under federal contract. Isn't that crazy? Say that with me. That's crazy. That's crazy. That's the world in which we live. Herod saw that it pleased the Jews. They were the religious establishment of the time. They were the doers and the shakers. And he saw it pleased them to put James to death. So he had Peter arrested. People have always used the church, always used the body of Christ to achieve what their goals were. I mean, they do that in business. Sometimes folks will say, go join a church so you can make some contacts. You can make some sales. You can do this or the other. Some folks do that politically. I mean, how many times do you hear somebody running for office that talks about, pray for me? You know, they show their church, and because they go to a church, they'd be the ones to vote for. Using the church. I got tickled about... I forgot what station I was watching last night or somewhere where these two little Catholic girls are they're talking about. Well, I don't remember where it was. I am getting to that age. When I'm as old as Ronnie Bolton, and I don't even know my name. I'll have to wear a name tag to know who I am. In fact, I have a little thing on my GPS that says push home to go just so I can find my way back. It's getting serious. Where was I at? The little two little Catholic girls. And I know, it's on Blue Bloods. I like Blue Bloods. And they were sitting around the dinner table, you know, they do at the end, and two of the little Catholic boys, one Catholic girls, Catholic boys, sitting there. And one of them said, faith is asking God to help you make the winning shot. And we've all done that, right? God, please let this free throw go. God, please help me catch it fast. God, please, that'd be enough for first down so they can move them chains. And Tom Seck says, that's what you pray. And then the other little boy says, well, if the other team's Catholic, which side's God on? It's like politicians. If they all claiming to know love Jesus, then which one's God for? Is he for the Baptist and against the Catholic? Is he for the Assembly and against the Presbyterian? I mean... Listen, church membership is costly due to the world in which we live, and we're not to use the church in that way. But the church is the body of Christ. And it is only here to serve and to worship and to love and adore God and give Him honor and grace and praise right here. That when folks think of Cooper Baptist Church, it ought to be a place where God is loved and God is honored. And you come and you love. And I thank God to come 20 years later. And in 1993 is when Stacy and I left and moved to Sterlington. 20 years later, this place is still going strong. A sign of a good church and a good pastor. God's doing good. You see, it costs something. And our world is against this, folks. They don't want us naming Jesus. They don't want us putting our Bibles on our desk. They don't want us having the T-shirts on and the stickers. They don't want us talking about Jesus. Go see the counselor. Go get some self-help. Truth of the matter is, Jesus is still the answer to whatever the question is. You see, it costs to belong to His church. A lot of folks don't want to join the church. They don't want to move there. Membership. They don't want to be aligned with Jesus just because there's some bad connotations that come with that. I'm going to tell you something. I won't be aligned with His church. I won't be a part of what God's doing. The Voice Parish, everybody's baptized when they're babies and they're baptized to the Catholic Church. And so they don't understand the concept of having a relationship with Jesus. They understand being religious. And a lot of Baptists understand that too. We understand being religious. I mean, what time? Church. 11 o'clock. You know why church at 11 o'clock? Y'all remember that? Because that's time you'd milk the cows in the morning. Let me see your hands. How many of you did this morning? Eddie, did you do this? Milked. I mean, you'd milk your cows, take your bath, then you go to church at 11 o'clock. You see, we still have the same rituals that the mother folks do. We talk bad about them. We just baptalic or something. That's a big word for me. When we ought to be focusing more on relationship. Do you have a relationship with Jesus? You express that in being associated with His body. If I'm going to name the name of Jesus, I want to be a part of His body. See, three things it cost us there. I got all day, right? Y'all didn't give me much time, but I'm going to use my time. Just please don't wave a chicken leg at me at the back window like you did years ago. Three things it cost. It cost us loss of social acceptance. If you're going to be associated with Jesus, folks ain't going to want to do anything with you. If you don't believe me, you give your heart to Jesus. And then go see your buddies that are still drinking beer and carrying on and chasing women and see how long they want to hang out with you. You better be prepared to lose some friends if you're going to be associated with Jesus. It also cost us we're passed over for promotion. I remember years ago, and I guess it's still the same way at Fort Pocon, that some of the military officers would have to have these hail and farewells. And they had to serve alcohol at those meetings. And they'd say, "Preacher, what are we supposed to do if we don't serve the alcohol? Then we won't get our promotion." And I tell them, "That's not my call. That's your call. That's got to be your convictions. You got to be ready to miss your promotion. If you're not ready to miss your promotion, then maybe you better go ahead and go get some Bud Light." You see, some of you have probably missed promotions because you played by the rules. Everybody else was shorthanding and you did the right thing. If it wasn't yours, you left it at work. You gave in your full 8, 10, or 12 hours, whatever the case may be. You paid your taxes. You were the citizen that God called you to be. And so you missed a promotion. It cost something to belong to His church. It also cost ridicule. Folks are going to make fun of you. If you're going to live for Jesus, they're going to make fun of you. If they're not making fun of you, then you ain't doing much living. You know that? They're going to make fun of the way that we talk. They're going to make fun of our commitment on Sunday morning. I don't know what it's ever going to take, folks. Like, look, if you've got company shows up Sunday morning, you know what you do? Come on, we go to church. You come go with me. You come go with me. I often pray lots of times for camps to burn on Sunday morning. Quit preaching, going to meddling, huh? Folks in Voice Parish, well, they go into the camp. You know squirrel hunting season day is a national holiday in Voice Parish? Did you know that? They play football game on Thursday night. School's out. It is excused absence to go squirrel hunting on Friday. I mean, go to the camp. The hunt's Saturday and Sunday. You know that? Praise God. Right? Squirrel season. I mean, I love squirrel hunting as much as anybody. In fact, I had some good squirrel gravy the other day. Nobody makes gravy like a Cooney. I promise you. But you know what? You're going to be ridiculed. Just like Peter was. Peter goes back on that dock. They laughed at him and said, you just got your fire insurance. You didn't care about following Jesus. You ever been ridiculed? I'm going. Number three. Church membership is costly, but ultimately is worthwhile. James lost everything on earth, but he gained all of eternity. A lot of us like the old country song that says, everybody want to go to heaven, but nobody want to go right now. I'm going to tell you something. I want to go to heaven. And I believe in my heart that I am ready when God calls me. I'm ready to go. And don't get me wrong now. I'd like to have an extra day or two. But I sure like them grandbabies. But you know what? When God calls, I'm ready to go. I got a whole lot more to look forward to than what I have looked behind. And we spend all our lives trying to keep what we have, and then God's got it all in front of us. Well, that was beautiful what y'all did on the play. Boy, I wish I could have had about 3,500 people in here to see that. Because folks don't get the concept that there is a heaven and there is a hell, and you make the decision now which way you're going to go. You've never talked to Jesus, there's a warm place waiting on you. And you can't blame nobody else but Jesus, but yourself, if you go the wrong way. Jesus has planted a cross right on a path to hell. Now we have an obligation, just like I shared a moment ago, about to share Jesus, to tell our friends. You know what? And they want to hear. They want to hear some good news, because all they ever hear is bad news. It's costly. But here's why it's worthwhile. First of all, it's worth whatever the cost as we live with ourselves. Ultimately, I'm responsible for every decision I make. When I put my head on my pillow at night, I got to live with what I did that day. Right? And I'm telling you, when you live for Jesus, you can lay your head on your pillow at night and you can say, come, sweet Jesus, let me sleep now, because I know I did the best I could today. Does that mean I was perfect? Oh, no, ask Stacy. I got a long ways to go. But I hope I'm a little further today than I was yesterday. And I hope tomorrow I'll be a little further along than I was today. But I have to live with myself. I have to look myself in the mirror and ask myself, how did you do for Jesus today? Second of all, paying the cost is worthwhile to other Christians, right? Hey, when I walk in this church and I see the folks that are there, I am so encouraged. I am so encouraged. And when you go in a place that is half empty or half full, whichever way you want to swing with that, boy, it can be discouraging. There's times when you've got a class prepared and you've worked hard and you've called folks and you've got the lesson and God's laid on your heart and you want to share it and then just nobody shows up. Boy, you just want to throw up your hands. I'm encouraged when I see folks come to worship. I'm encouraged when I see people bow their head around the table, whether they at the Wagon Master or McDonald's, and say, God, thank you for what we have to eat today. I'm encouraged with that. I'm encouraged back in Marksville. It's kind of a mixed emotion right now, but the guy that we had leading our music for 4 years, make a long story short, he lost his job and he got sick the next month and he thought he had a bad appendix and he went in there. His appendix was the size of a softball and it was cancer. I had never heard of appendix cancer. And so they resigned and went back to Oklahoma and he's 41 years old and got three kids, three little girls, 10, 8, and 4 or 5 Haley is. A month ago, did a PET scan and said, there's no cancer. Boy, he was getting excited, looking good. And then he thought his bile duct was leaking. They went in there and they found out the cancer had metastasized everywhere. And somehow the PET scan, I guess that's as useless as something on a boar pig. But you know what they do? They struggled every month. His wife, and they had to work. She's working 10 hours a day to make a living for them so they'll have medical insurance. They got a home in Pineville that they can't sell, and they're up in Oklahoma living with her stepmother and father. And you know what they do every month? They send their tithe to our church. Can you believe that? Every month it comes faithful. I'd go see John in the ICU, and I'd walk in there and he'd just start crying, and he'd say, "I just can't believe how much God loves me." He's laying in the ICU, and everything is against him. And I said, "Well, tell me what you mean." He said, "Well, people are just loving us, and they're calling us, and they're sending cards, and they're praying. And every time I turn around, somebody's put a little money in my hand because they know things are tight at our house." And he said, "I can't believe how much God loves me." I don't know about you, but I get ashamed when I get a headache. And I'm talking about this elbow's been killing me lately. You wouldn't believe the arthritis in that elbow. And here's a man that's fighting cancer, it's metastasized, and I'm complaining about an elbow that's got arthritis in it. I love John and Sharon. Oh, they've been a part of it. We started out when we was there in the Senior Adult Center, and we built a new church. And by the way, if you've not met Jim and Ivy Weibel sitting up here by Stacy, they came and helped build our church and live with us they stay very long though, but they built the thing so doggone fast. But they've been helping with the helping hands, and I'm encouraged when I see folks like that. And I'm also sometimes ashamed that I do so little. You see, to belong to God's church costs something. But listen to this. The one who benefits from the most is that lost person. When they see a Christian paying their dues. Too much of the world sees folks talk a good talk, but they don't walk much of a walk. Right? They say one thing on Sunday, they the finest you ever seen, and Monday they mean as a snake. Ought not be. James said sweet water and bitter water ought not come out of the same fountain. You know, Christians are our own worst enemy, right? You work with anybody that claims they're Christian and live like the devil? Me too. But you know what? The world still has an admiration for the person who sells out to Jesus. Lock, stock, and barrel. They still want to see that, folks. They want to see us living and dying and breathing Jesus, no matter what. Don't you want to see? Don't you want to be that person? I do. I do. Those times that I get so discouraged and I say things I ought not say, and I'm finally at that place in my life where stuff just don't mean nothing. I mean, literally, it just don't mean nothing anymore. I'm so glad I finally. Taking me 56 years to get there. I know it's hard to believe I'm that old. But you know what? It is. I just don't care anymore what I have or don't have. And, you know, I just want to see people come to Jesus. I just want to do something to encourage somebody in their day. I just want to make my mark on this world. Right? How about you? Would you stand with me? Now, I know we're fixing to go to eat, but can we take just a few minutes, just a couple of minutes? Let's do business for just a moment. Well, I can't think of a better day than homecoming day of the literally hundreds and hundreds, even thousands of people who've come through these doors in the past years. Aren't you glad they paid the price? Aren't you glad? Aren't you glad that somebody was faithful to the pulpit, faithful in a Sunday school class, faithful to give their money that you'd have a nice place to come and to worship? Aren't you glad? Aren't you glad folks have been faithful through the years to love Jesus? That somebody told you about Jesus one day in a home visit or in vacation Bible school or in Sunday school or in a worship service. Aren't you glad they was faithful? Brother Edgar, there's got to be another way that you and I are a lot like. There are some times we get pretty discouraged and we go, you know, what's the use? You know, you want to throw up your hands. And about that time, the phone call comes from somebody and says, preacher, I just appreciate your life and what you're doing. And just keep on what you're doing. And I'm thinking, boy, what was I thinking? You know what I want to quit for? You want to hang in there. Well, Edgar, would you come stand just for a moment? Musicians, y'all come and let's have a hymn invitation. Can we do that? Come and do that. And would you come this morning if you've never associated with God's church? Maybe you've never confessed Jesus as Lord and Savior. I can't think of a better day than today than to give your heart to Jesus. There's going to be a day when the trumpet's going to sound and you're going to drop to your knees whether you want to or not. But I'd rather come while I can and say, I want you to know I love Jesus. I want to be associated with it. Move your membership, come join, whatever you need to do. Brother Edgar will be glad to talk to you. Would you do that? Let's sing.